ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः कर्मयोगो नाम तृतीयोऽध्यायः अर्जुन उवाच जायसी चेत्कर्मणस्ते मता बुद्धिर्जनार्दन तत्किं कर्मणि घोरे माम् नियोजयसि केशव व्यामिश्रेणेव वाक्येन बुद्धिं मोहयसीव मे तदेकं वद निश्चित्य येन श्रेयोऽहमाप्नुयाम् श्रीभगवानुवाच लोकेऽस्मिन् द्विविधा निष्ठा पुरा प्रोक्ता मया नघ ज्ञानयोगेन साङ्ख्यानाम् कर्मयोगेन योगिनाम् न कर्मणामनारम्भात् नैष्कर्म्यं पुरुषोऽश्नुते न च संन्यसनादेव सिद्धिं समधिगच्छति नहि कश्चित्क्षणमपि जातु तिष्ठत्य कर्मकृत् कार्यते ह्यवशः कर्म सर्वः प्रकृतिजैर्गुणैः कर्मेन्द्रियाणि संयम्य य आस्ते मनसा स्मरन् इन्द्रियार्थान् विमूढात्मा मिथ्याचारः स उच्यते यस्त्विन्द्रियाणि मनसा नियम्यारभतेऽर्जुन कर्मेन्द्रियैः कर्मयोगम् असक्तः स विशिष्यते नियतं कुरु कर्मत्वम् कर्मज्यायो ह्यकर्मणः कर्मज्यायो ह्यकर्मणः शरीरयात्रापि च ते शरीरयात्रापि च ते न प्रसिद्ध्येद कर्मणः न प्रसिद्ध्येद कर्मणः सो वी सॉ टिल हियर लास्ट क्लास फॉर द पर्सन हु इज वेरी क्लियर अबाउट हिज ultimate goal of human life being mokshaha, the choiceless one. And that moksha is identical with the knowledge. Knowledge is the means. Knowledge is freedom. Knowledge is fullness. Knowledge is limitlessness. Knowledge is happiness. Knowledge of what happiness is knowledge. And knowledge itself is what? Happiness, fullness. That is moksha. Therefore, knowledge of what happiness is implies knowledge of what the reality is. And knowledge of what the reality is knowledge of the self. Because reality, there is no way of understanding what the reality is without understanding the self. Reality of every being, reality of everything, reality of the whole, reality of an individual happens to be one and the same. That reality for an individual is available for recognition only as the self, in one's own mind. Therefore, self-knowledge is the knowledge of the reality. Knowledge of the reality is knowledge of what fullness is. Knowledge of fullness is attainment of fullness. Really speaking, fullness is never attained, isn't it? Knowledge of fullness is attained. Thereby, knowledge fullness is attained, which is moksha. Therefore, knowledge is the means. Knowledge is enough. Then why should I do karma? If what I want is fullness, very clear, that is my choiceless end, I am very clear about it, then I should pursue knowledge. Then why should I do karma? And I know very well, I know knowledge is the only means, one thing, I know very well what karma cannot give also, karma cannot give what I want in life, then why should I do karma? I know the limitation of karma. I know the value of knowledge. Then see, very clear, Arjuna is very clear. Know the value of knowledge. I know the limitation of karma. So I'm very clear what I want. Then why should I do karma? This is the question. Therefore, Krishna made it very clear. He talked about two lifestyles prescribed for people. Isn't it? And when, isn't it? Knowledge, even though knowledge is the only means, that knowledge presupposes what? Contemplative disposition of the mind, and that is not easily acquirable and easily achievable. That involves great effort, and for that contemplative disposition of the mind and the knowledge of the what to contemplate on, what is to contemplate on, will be you can gain with the help of study with the teacher, isn't it? But to have the disposition, the meditative disposition, one has to really work hard, and that implies being endowed with pure and steady mind. That one can have only if one lives a disciplined, dharma-governed, a life of karma yoga. So the two lifestyles, he said, isn't it? Contemplative life is what? It's life of self-enquiry, which is otherwise known as jnana yogaha, which is, means for jnanam, which is mokshaha, and to have the contemplative disposition of the mind, to pure and steady mind, antakarna shuddhihe na naishchalyam, one can get, well, how? By living a life of karma yoga, isn't it? Along with practice of upasana, meditation. Isn't it? So karma yoga itself implies upasana also there. Karma yoga does not exclude upasana.
Because Karma Yoga, life, living of Karma Yoga itself is what? A conscious, alert life. Isn't it? You are not, there's no mechanic life there. There are two lifestyles, he said. Karma Yogena Yoginam, Jnana Yogi Sankhyanam. Two lifestyles, he said. And thereafter, why you should do karma? Then he continued with that. It is not possible for one to remain without doing any karma. So non-performance of actions will not help one to attain moksha. Mere performance of actions also will not help one to attain moksha. So giving up the activities half the way will not help one to attain moksha. Because karma has nothing to do with moksha. Moksha is all about jnanam, isn't it? And second thing, the second point he said was, it is not possible for one to remain physically inactive. But giving up physical activities, externally activities, does not make one really an actionless person. Because actionlessness is absolutely, isn't it? Like basically, the nature of the reality, that one becoming free from the notion that I am the doer and enjoyer in jnanam is really what? Now, being actionless, but not giving up physical activities. That he explained. And later on, he said, we saw that other thing also, karma has to be done, and there's no choice about, no individual has any choice about doing activities, actions. Isn't it? Why? Because, he makes it very clear, the reason is, because the whole body, mind and sense complex is what? Nothing but modified form of matter. It's a material product. Sattvic aspect of the matter alone has become what? Now, this mind is mind stuff. You know that? The mind stuff is formed of sattvic aspect of the matter. The pranas are what? No. Rajasic aspect of matter. Tamasic aspect of matter forms what? This physical body. All are material products. What is the nature of the matter? Inertness. Isn't it? So, whether subtle matter or a gross matter, mind is a subtle matter, imperceptible, invisible matter. But gross is, stula, this body is a visible matter. That's all. So, matter being such, isn't it? And matter is inert by itself. And the matter, material product, has the gunas of this cause, matter. Therefore, they are of the nature of constantly undergoing change. Therefore, the change being the unchangeable nature of the matter, the material products are constantly undergoing change. Therefore, activities are also inevitable. That is why we have no choice here. You are helpless. In doing something or the other, you are helpless. You can use your will and buddhi, knowledge of values, to choose to do actions, to avoid actions. He has choice over actions, but he has no choice about doing actions. If you don't do what is to be done, you will end up doing what should not be done. That is the nature of the matter. Is it clear now? Therefore, it is not possible for one to remain without any activities, actions. Therefore, may you do karma. That's what he was saying. Till it's all old class lessons. Isn't it? The last one, therefore Arjuna, Niyatam Karma Kuru. Niyatam Kuru Karma, Karma, now, because Akarmanaha Karma Jayaha, performing actions is always better than, now, remaining inactive, inaction. So, why? Because Sharira Yatra Apina Prasidhyet Akarmanaha, for the person who is physically inactive, now, even the maintenance of the body will not be possible, because maintenance of the body implies, you know, the food, shelter, you know, clothing, everything, and all those things you can't just get by yourself, isn't it? Because whatever you enjoy, you have to contribute. Whatever you are consuming, and now whatever you're enjoying, for all the basic needs you want, for you to live, to keep going. And where do you take them from? You take them from the nature only. So to contribute also. Isn't it? Therefore, and he says, so how should, now, in fact, it is very important for one to do the karma. And it is very difficult for one to even maintain the maintenance body if one doesn't do karma. And second thing, one has to do the karma with the proper attitude as yoga, isn't it? And then the karma yoga, it's the attitude involved in karma, isn't it? As yoga, convert the karma into what? Even yajna. Yajna, I told you, such a beautiful word, last time I explained to you. Yajna, yagaha, kratuhu, homaha, havanam, all these words mean the same. And yajna is what actually? Worship. And the worship implies act of offering. And that offering implies, isn't it? This, nothing can be offered, really speaking, because there is nothing that you are offering, you are giving anything. Everything you are taking, you have been given. Okay? You have been, everything has been given to you. The really speaking, you are not giving anything from your pocket, isn't it? You are only, you are blessed with everything. So whatever you think you are giving is what? You're only returning. Anything we do for anybody, anything, okay, if I'm teaching means I'm only returning, I'm not really giving. Understand, Hatyam, I feel that. 100% I feel that. Now when I say I'm doing something, I'm giving means, I'm doing means, I'm only returning what I have got. Sharing what I've been given. I'm not giving anything as my own. Isn't it? It's a mutual giving and taking. Therefore, and here yajna concept. So what he says is, yajna arthat anyatra karmanaha ayam lokaha karma bandhanaha. Ayam lokaha karma bandhanaha means what? This life in this universe, in this world, is bound by karma. You are living as a living individual means you have a body, mind, and complex, and definitely you are already what? Karma. This world, life in this world is bound by karma. Bound by karma means what? Is no way of, because whatever the whole life you are living, doing, all that you have is you have willpower, you have buddhi shakti, willpower and knowledge of values. You can maximum you can do is you can choose to do the right, avoid the wrong. Apart from that, you have nothing. Bound by, you are just the biological needs, emotional needs, your natural needs, they drive you to do work. Isn't it? The constitution of the material also is what now? Drives you to do work. What choice do you have? Yes, you're doing, isn't it? Once you do the karma, what choice do you have about going through the phalam, production of the phalam? Any karma definitely choiceless, whether you like it or not, karma produces phalam. That is the law of karma. And once the phalam comes, the phalam has to be exhausted. And you can't say, come on, let me finish this phalam today itself. You have no say over the production. You have no say over. You can't stop the fruit from happening. And nor can you avoid the fruit of the reaction. And nor can you get the fruit of the action the day time you want it to happen. You just have no choice. You have to accept the fruit of the phalam. But that fruit of the action is exactly in conformity with, isn't it? The punya papa you have in your store. That the present situation, the present action you do, most of the times only what? It's only nimittam for the old fruits to manifest. That is why sometimes we are not able to understand why this has come for this. Desirable fruit or undesirable fruit, whatever comes, it tallies with something. And then our Shastram says, it is whatever one goes through in life, the what you do is only instrumental. Whatever comes is what? The paradha ordained. We call it paradha karma phalam. Isn't it? One comes, so you have no say. What say do you have? One has to understand this. Therefore, when the palam is there, then what? The palam has to be exhausted. There is no way. Therefore, what now? Once you finish the parabdha, then definitely next body will be ready for your assumption. The next birth is also definite, and you have to be exhausting next set of paradha, which is in the form of kanchitam. From Sanchitam, you will be withdrawing. The withdrawn, what now? the drawn depot, the particular amount of money drawn from the deposits become what? Current, isn't it? In the currently experienced thing, like that, enjoyed thing. So, similarly, the paradha, every set of new paradha is what? One portion of Sanchitam becomes a new paradha for you. So you're exhausting. Well, exhausting paradha, again you're helpless. You have to do karma. Once you do karma, you accumulate punya papa. Isn't it? Even you're consciously living a life also, still you'll be accumulating only punyam, no papam at all. Still punyam also is what? Pallam, you had to be born again. Again you can't say you're only punyam in your hanchita. Papam will also come mixed up, isn't it? Therefore life will be life of both pains and pleasures. Both paths of opposites, and the proportion of desirable, undesirable situations and fruits may differ, isn't it, from person to person, in keeping with punya papas one have in one's account. But it is unavoidable, inevitable, isn't it? So it be coming. That is why ayam lokaha karma bandhanaha. This life is what? Bound by karma. Life is? This world is bound by karma. Ever how to get rid of this bondage of karma? That is why he says, yajñārthāt anyatra. Okay? Otherwise, unless you live this life as live a life of karma yoga. The only way to free oneself from bondage of karma, isn't it? He explained to you why. This life in this world is bound by karma. There's no way of escaping. Yajñārthā tanyatra. Unless you live a life of karma yoga. Unless, you live a worshipful, prayerful life. Not mere worshipful, mere prayerful, isn't it? The dharma governed life. Because living a life of living a righteous life, living a life of values makes one an ethical person, isn't it? But merely being ethical is not enough, does not make one's life a life of karma yoga. But without being ethical, there is no karma yoga. But merely being ethical does not make one's life karma yoga, life karma yoga. That means what? Okay, one has to be worshipful also. So being worshipful again implies what? Isn't it? Acknowledging. Worshipful implies merely being worshipful also without understanding the significance of worship. If simply I'm worshipful means, I pray, I'm prayerful and worshipful means, then you are just the religious person. So merely being religious, one does not make one a karma yogi. But, so when you worship, being worshipful and prayerful makes one a karma yogi if one knows the significance of worship, which is called yajna. What is that? That expression of one's, first of all, one has to remember the fact that I do not create anything by myself. I cannot create anything by myself. And then what I am blessed with everything I want to live this life. Whatever I am doing it by myself. And to do also I need a knowledge. I am blessed with the knowledge to do. What to do, when to do, how much to do. I am blessed with knowledge. And I am blessed with the knowledge to I have capacity to discover, to know what is, and to make use of what is. It is a knowledge of science and technology is what? That knowledge also I am blessed with. Isn't it? Therefore, I discover and enjoy. Really speaking, I do not create anything by myself. And then all that I need, now even for me to be able to move, the energy I have, And the capacity to do things, everything is basically, in fact, what? Blessed by these devatas around. All the phenomena, that is why we look at them as devatas. And when I think, and then the one who discusses one's humbleness, and one feels grateful, one acknowledges how much one is blessed by these devatas. So, one acknowledges one's isn't helplessness, and one acknowledges the contribution of devatas for one's life, and thereby he feels grateful. So this is what, and it's an expression of gratitude, acknowledging the contribution of devatas, phenomena for one's life. Okay, and so through the simplest act of symbolic act of offering is worship. Sharing with other people also sort of, sharing and giving is also what? Worship. Because the concept is, I'm not merely a consumer, I'm also equally a contributor. Even not with the hankara, because I consume so much, so let me give something with all humility, it'll in return. That is what significance of worship. That with an understanding of significance of worship, being worshipful and prayerful makes one not just the merely religious person, makes one more than that also, isn't it? Then, under the understanding of the significance of worship, one is worshipful and prayerful, then that worshipfulness makes a person a karma yogi. Is it clear now? So without being that, without being religious, one cannot be karma yogi. Without being ethical, one cannot be karma yogi. But merely being religious, merely being ethical do not make one a karma yogi. The third point is, above all, for one to be a karma yogi and thereby to be ethical and religious, one should know how purushartha nischaya. Now, the one who should know the commitment to one's end must be very clear, and commitment to the pursuit of knowledge must be there, and there must be knowledge of value of knowledge of the reality. Thereby, one should know the importance of having pure and steady mind, and for thereby one should know the value of living a life of karma yoga. Thereby one commits oneself to live a life of karma yoga. Therefore, such a karma yogi, living a life of karma yoga itself is possible only if a person has purushartha nischaya, and one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Such a person is said to be what? A spiritual person, isn't it? A spiritual person is ethical and religious as well. This I told you many, many times in the class. It's a part of this yajnartha karmanaha anyatra ayam lokaha karma bandhanaha. I'm repeating because the context of the verse is that I had to repeat. Otherwise, this world is what? Bound by karma. Ayam lokaha karma bandhanaha. Yajnartha tanyatra ayam lokaha karma bandhanaha. How are you going to free yourself from bondage of karma? As long as karma is there, what karma? As long as you are exhausting paradha, as long as there is a need for you to exhaust the paradha karma, I don't need to exhaust the paradha karma. Why? I don't need to be born again. You have no choice. And I'm saying, Shastram says, please understand your helplessness, your choicelessness. What choice do you have? You are bound by karma. How? Because you don't even know why you are born. Why you have this body? Why this parentage? Why these people? Why am I doing this? You don't know anything. Do you know anything? Do you have any choice about it? You didn't have any choice. The very truth that you are here, you didn't have. It's not your choice that you are here with this body, mind, and complex, with this knowledge, with the capacity, with the parentage, with the friends, the society around, people around. You are here, isn't it? And with some 10 significant people in one's life also, and going through. Now, all our frictions and pains and pleasures and all of them are only with people whom we know, our friends and enemies, isn't it? It's not really, world is so small for us. Very few people make a whole jagat. We forget the whole jagat is so vast. So much science, so much economics, so much knowledge, there's so much to think about. But the whole mind can be occupied by few people. Whole jagat is will be reduced to very few people you know in life. Sometimes one person can become a whole jagat. Isn't it? Because then our whole life is confined to that. And our Shastra say, come on, make that one as Bhagavan. May convert the whole jagat into what? Now, whatever keeps your mind busy and occupied, you know, whatever occupies your mind, holds attention, you know, it becomes what? Jagat for you. Whole world is that. Amazing, isn't it? That's how you are, mind. So what choice do we have? So Parabdha is there, so you're born here, you're living your life. And while exhausting the Parabdha karma, you do not know why you're going through sometimes pains and pleasures in life. Now all these paths of opposites, that's why I said, Agama Apayana Anityaha, you know, that's why Krishna made very clear the initial itself. In the second chapter he said, you know, Matraha Sparshastu Kaunteya, you know, Shita Ushna Sukha Dukkha Daha, they will definitely give you Shita Ushna Sukha Dukkha, Namana Apamana, all these things, honor, dishonor, name, fame, success, no, failure, all these paths of opposites are inevitable. They come. But even they what now? Agama Apayana, they come and go. But this is life. Understand now? When you live this life, exhausting your power of the Punya Papa, in the form of going through desirable, undesirable situations and now the experiences you go through, then what you do? You choicelessly accumulate agami. Isn't it? Agami karapalam, you're accumulating. No, I'm not accumulating. I'm only exhausting, I'm not accumulating. Can you say that? Choicelessly, you're accumulating agami. And choicelessly, you've already accumulated what? Like how this Parabdha itself, you do not know why you have this. Similarly, the future Parabdha also will be what? You will have it. So when are you going to put a full stop to this? How are you going to put an end to this? It will never end. Okay? Total exhaustion of Sanchitam will never be possible. Understand now, every Janma is what? Beginning of Parabdha, end of Parabdha. Understand now? And then helplessly you accumulate, add to whatever little of Sanchitam you exhaust from of Parabdha, you are adding also what? Through? Always Sanchitam remains big capital. It is Paraga will go and join it. I am Lokaha Karma Bandhanaha. Is it clear now? This is what is said by the word I am Lokaha Karma Bandhanaha, means there is while living in this world, enjoy, being endowed with this body, mind, and complex, however saintly person you are, even if you choose to only right actions, avoid wrong actions, everybody genuinely is trying to be good and right, Satyam. There's a constant effort on everybody's part to be righteous, to be the good person, to be nice to others. There's a constant effort, Satyam. Everybody is equally trying. There's no individual who wants to be bad and wrong and to other people, really. Satyam, genuine effort is there. You know, it's only some sort of the lack of capacity to handle and deal situations, people react. Really speaking, it's genuinely in the heart of the heart. There's no human being who really wants to be bad and wrong to others. Purposely. Nobody. This is a fact. The heart of the heart, nobody wants to. When they don't think well, very emotional, then there can be reactions. Therefore, here, they said, what? I am Lokaha Karma Bandhanaha. Listen, what is karma, bondage of karma now? Not everything is, I wanted to understand the choicelessness and helplessness about doing karma and producing karma phalam, isn't it? Even saintly person cannot avoid accumulating what? Parabdha. Sorry, Sanchitam, Agami Karma. So this will be going on. What is the only way? Yajnarthat. Okay? Living a life of karma yoga. Okay? Wherein you are, which makes you live a life in harmony with the natural law and order. Bhagavan is the only way. Yajnarthat anyatra ayam lokaha karma bandhanaha. Isn't it? Yajnarthat karmano yatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sangas samachara. Therefore Arjuna, tadartham. Now what tadartham means what? For that sake. What sake? For the sake of bond, freedom from bondage of karma. If you want freedom from bondage of karma, even though it is in the form of knowledge, that preparedness required for the knowledge is what? Living a life of karma yoga. So convert your life into a life, living a life of karma yoga converts your whole life into a life of yajna, worship. Isn't it? Then that is the only way your antakarna shuddhi will be taken care of, antakarna nishaichalam will be taken care of, your contemplation will be taken care of, and your moksha jnanam also will be taken care of, will be free. Is it clear now? Why you should do karma? Tadartham he karma kaunteya karma samachara mukta sangaha, being free from attachment. I told in the last class, explained that, isn't it? Can we go to the new class now?
You finished all that?
Finish all of that work now? What's next verse? And I all told it this also. That's why this, even this yajnaha, yajnaha, the performance of rituals to pacify devatas phenomena, the Vedic rituals, and even the concept of this yajna, this concept of yajna also what? When was it? It was not created. It's been there from time immemorial, from the day one, the human being is there, this the way of life also is there. Way of life, which is a yajna, which converts the way of life. Sanatanaha dharmaha, governed by dharma. Now, way of life, living of karma yoga, is been there from time immemorial, from the day one, this humanity is there. How to say that? Yes, saha yajnaha prajaha srishtva pura vacha prajapatihi. He said what? Is living a life of yajna is what? No. In fact, knowledge is kamadhenuhu. And for that jnana, knowledge of what? Knowledge of reality will free you from bondage, and knowledge of karma, knowledge of how to live a life of karma yoga also will what now? If you know, if you implement that knowledge, then you will, anything you can accomplish. Isn't it? This is kama dukku. He explained that, kama denuhu. Finished it also actually. We'll go to the next one now. Saha yajna praja srishtva. Saha yajna praja srishtva. Purovacha prajapatihi, purovacha prajapatihi, anena prasavishyadvam, anena prasavishyadvam. Eshavostvishtakamadhuk. Okay, next one. Devan. This was finished? First class? We are doing the same thing in Tauhat food also. Devan bhavayatanena, devan bhavayatanena, te deva bhavayantu vaha, te deva bhavayantu vaha, parasparam bhavayantaha, parasparam bhavayantaha. Shreyav paramavapsyatha, shreyav paramavapsyatha. He says, this is hard, no? Okay. He says, Krishna says now, yes Arjuna, all that you want is shreyas. And what is shreyas? Param shreyaha. There is nothing param, there is nothing greater than, nothing superior than moksha. Isn't shreyas? Shreyas is the absolute good. Even shreyas is the absolute good. What is absolute good? That which is desirable for all the people, always, everywhere is absolute good. Isn't it? If something is desirable, acceptable for some people, when some situation, in a given place, at a given time, means what? Relative good. Isn't it? What is desirable, what is acceptable, what is good for all the people, always, everywhere, irrespective of who the person is, which culture he belongs to, where he is, that is what? Absolute good. What is that absolute good? Knowledge. Isn't it? So, Paramshreyaha, the absolute, ultimate, isn't it? The absolute, ultimate, absolute good is what? Mokshaha. Hey Arjuna, Paramshreyaha, Vapsyata, may you attain that absolute good, Moksha. How? No, he says, by living a life of worship. What's living a life of worship? Living a life of worship means knowing the significance of worship. Really, I cannot offer anything, anybody, everything has been given to me. Knowing this fact with humility, no, with gratitude, and then sharing and returning what I am blessed with, the other being and also to the devatas. Living a life of karma yoga, governed, dharma governed life is what? Yajnaha, isn't it? Only by living a life of karma yoga, by living a life of yajna, isn't what? May you attain moksha, paramshreyaha avapsyata. He says, and he explains how one can live a life of worship again, isn't it? And he says, in this context, he also explains the meaning of how can you please the devatas. See, for one to be harmonious, I want to be harmonious, and I want to be peaceful. See, even though absolute peace is knowledge only in jnanam, only in knowledge, only when I discover fullness, there is absolute peace. Till then also, I need to be, I should be able to pursue my, without obstacles and hindrances. If I had to live my life in such a way that I'll be able to pursue my end, for which I should be relatively peaceful. Isn't it? For that relatively, to be relatively peaceful, you need grace. See, for absolute peace, of course, you need grace. And for knowledge, you need grace. For moksha, you need grace. For accomplishing everything, you need grace. And here again, you say what? Even for it to be relatively peaceful, you need Bhagavan's grace. Isn't it? How can one tap Bhagavan's grace? Anugraham katham sampadayami. Sampadayishyami. How shall I earn Bhagavan's grace? Anugraha sampadanam. Kripa sampadanam, daya sampadanam, Bhagavan's grace, how can I tap? Isn't it? He says, only one way. Isn't it? Only by being close to Bhagavan, you can tap Bhagavan's grace. How can I be close to Bhagavan? Isn't it? By being in harmony with Bhagavan. How can I be in harmony with Bhagavan? By being in, by being in tune with Bhagavan. How can I be in tune with Bhagavan? How can I live my life in tune with Bhagavan? Bhagavan is in the form of universal natural law and order. So may you live your life such a way that you are in tune with the universal law and order, Bhagavan. Thereby, you are close to Bhagavan, in harmony with Bhagavan, then you can tap Bhagavan's grace. How can I be in tune with Bhagavan? Isn't it? The universal law and order. This is where I say, by not disturbing the order. If you do not disturb the universal natural law and order, you are in harmony with order. So being in harmony with the order is what? Being, isn't it? Harmony with Bhagavan. Bhagavan and order are not two different things for us. Bhagavan is in the form of order. isn't it? How can I live without disturbing the order? Non-disturbance, you know, not causing any disturbance in the order, not disrupting, isn't it? Destroying, damaging, not being, how can I be in tune, harmony with the order? Not disturbing it. How can I not disturb the order? You were living a life of values is the only way you can live without disturbing the order. Your commitment to ahimsa, commitment to non-hurting, commitment to, you know, commitment to live a life of values is the only way, isn't it? It's the only way you can live in tune with the order. And above all, also what? You, that's the only way you are not disturbing the order. And more than that, you also you feel humble, you feel grateful, and you express your gratitude, no, through an act of offering, acknowledging the contribution of devatas for your well-being. See, whenever you acknowledge the contribution of the phenomena for your well-being, naturally you feel grateful. As a token of your gratitude, expression of your gratitude, when you offer something in return, which is not really returned actually, it's a symbolic act of offering, then that also is being a will-involved action, isn't it? And that produces palam. That palam produced by a will-involved action of worship, through which one expresses one's gratitude. Now, acknowledging the contribution of the phenomena for one's life, then that becomes what? The reciprocation on the part of devatas. The palam is what? Response on the part of devatas. For what? When you offer. Therefore, in this mantra, in this verse, it says devaha. Devaha means, literally the word devaha means so many... effulgent. Effulgent is deva. Diviti iti devaha means effulgent. Actually, Bhagavan is the ultimate reality is what? Consciousness is mentioned by the word devaha. And that which illumines is devaha. Isn't it? Therefore, sun is called, any luminous body is said to be devaha. Sense organs are said to be devaha. And really speaking, every phenomenon which is looked upon as a bundle of energy by naturalists and scientists, but which is looked upon as devata by Shastram. No, why? Because every phenomenon is illumination of consciousness only. It means what? Isn't it? A manifestation of reality only. Isn't it? That is why every devata, every phenomenon is looked upon as devata, devaha. So here in this verse he says, devan bhavayata nena. Say no? Devan bhavayata nena, te deva bhavayantu vaha, te deva bhavayantu vaha. Parasparam bhavayantaha, parasparam bhavayantaha, shreyav paramavapsyatha, shreyav paramavapsyatha, devan bhavayatanena, devan bhavayatanena, te deva bhavayantu vaha, te deva bhavayantu vaha, parasparam bhavayantaha, parasparam bhavayantaha, shreyav paramavapsyatha, shreyav paramavapsyatha. It says, devan bhavayata. O human beings, yajna is kamadhuk. This yajna is what? Living a life, living a worshipful life. Now you know what the significance of worship, isn't it? Knowing the significance of worship, living a worshipful life, living a life of karma yoga, isn't it? It involves a great attitude of offering everything, all our actions to what? Ultimately to discover Bhagavan. I'm doing everything I'm doing to live this life. And to live, I'm living this life ultimately to discover Bhagavan. Means all our actions become offered to Bhagavan. That when you do, no, may you propitiate the devatas through performance of rituals. Understand? That is why in Vedic rituals we have all the devatas. Agnaye Swaha, Vayave Swaha. No, suppose we say Surya Swaha. Any mantra you say, no, the Swaha actually, I'm offered this to that. And na mama, nothing is mine, everything is yours. I'm only offering it to you, isn't it? Because the performance of Vedic rituals is what now actually? The symbolic act of offering. And through which, by returning something which I got from the devatas, now when I offer it, it becomes what? Just a small thing, isn't it? My acknowledgement becomes expressed. Isn't it? Thereby, may you propitiate devatas. Devan bhavayata. Once you propitiate the devatas, the propitiation of devatas through performance of rituals, or if you don't perform rituals, by living a life of dharma, by living a life of karma yoga, by living a life of karma yoga itself makes your life a life of worship. By that life, don't think, oh, Hamija, I don't perform any ritual. Because I don't know what is performing a ritual. Immediately don't think that way. Literally, it means living a vayagya, even though it is said here, but living a life of karma yoga itself, what? Living a life of worship, isn't it? Living a worshipful life, which implies understanding of the significance of worship, and which is what? Which is very consciously lived, alert life, wherein you are so conscious of not disturbing the order. Isn't it? By living that life, what happens now? Devaha now are pleased, pacified, made happy, isn't it? Devan bhavayat, may propitiate the devatas, thereby those devatas also propitiate to vaha, devaha vaha bhavayantu. May those devatas propitiated by you, propitiate you in return. Isn't it? If you are nice to other person will be nice to you as well. If you intend to hurt the person, doesn't want to hurt, the people cannot take hurts. You know that? People, nobody can take hurt. Nobody wants to be hurt. That's the very nature. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get offended. I don't want to be made feel small. That is a very fundamental desire of any helplessness. Okay, that's what nobody can stand that. Everybody wants only warmth, love and care. Isn't it? So anything which I want to convey, I want to reveal, something which may right or wrong, is going to offend, hurt other person, means before I talk about it, I should know 100% whether it is right or wrong, true or not. Isn't it? Whatever I do. That is why vaktapas is very important. Vaktapas is important. What we do is very important. What we discuss, everything is very important. Karma yoga is living a very, very careful life. Very, very careful life. You know that. So here, that's why he says, see, not simply doing worship, not simply being worshipful, not simply performing ritual, and living a conscious life. Being alert always, isn't it? That means whatever I talk, whatever I discuss, whatever I say, whatever I do must be, you know, I should put my mind totally into that. I can't simply casually say something which will offend and hurt, you know. Even though you don't do it intentionally, means you know, meaning well you do also sometimes, but even then you may mean well, other person may not know that you are meaning well, isn't it? That is why even for pleasing other person you can't do something what is not right, because there's a basic thing for a person. That's one of the ways. So living in tune with order means living a very, very, very highly sensitive, conscious life. Isn't it? That's what is life of worship. Not simply doing arati, simply doing pujas, simply doing havans. Isn't it? Everything I do, I just govern. You know? Sometimes when we're very close to people, very close, and sometimes we are very casual sometimes. The intention is not anything. There's no, even though you live a life, very correct, perfect life, because when familiarity becomes what now? Now you take the other person for granted and you can just talk anything. You point out small things, you know, and then make it blow it up into a big thing. There all we'll be very careful, you know, because we do disturb the order. Therefore, here, non-disturbing life is the only way you can live in harmony with the order. Only when you are in tune with the order, you will, you know, then Devan Bhavayata, Te Devaha Vaha Bhavayantu. Okay, may you live a life of yajna. So through performance of rituals also, you offer oblations, then you please the devatas. You don't say, I had to perform the ritual here today, big yajna by somebody in the temple, people, big board also. When you offer oblations, you know, this is the ritual is performed means, when people go for rituals, they have to go very well clean, and well dressed and all that. You know that, in yajna, yajna shalas itself, we organize in the temples in India. Because when you go, yajna shala means just be very kept very clean and nice, because devatas are going to be invoked there. Bhagavan is, isn't it? Well, because that the rituals, through the performance of rituals, when we offer oblations such as ghee, etc. to the devatas, we acknowledge, we express our gratitude, and that means we acknowledge the contribution of those devatas. What all the devatas give us, we acknowledge. And we feel so small and humble, and we really feel so grateful. That's an expression of gratitude. Then those that you are offering also is what? Acknowledged by the devatas. The devatas also propitiate you in return, because it's a will-involved karma. You produce a phalam. Vaha devaha vaha bhavayantu devan bhavayata anena. Okay? Te devaha vaha bhavayantu. Then parasparam bhavayantaha. You propitiate devatas. Devatas will propitiate you in return. Then what happened? Propitiating each other. Mutually, isn't it? Acknowledging each other. This parasparam bhavayantaha. When you live in harmony with the order, then you don't disturb the order, then naturally order also will not disturb your peace. What now? You have the grace. You have tapped what? Grace. That grace, how will you feel? Grace will not walk with the beautiful eyes and nose and in a form in your manashanti. Understand now? Manashanti is what? Relative peace, isn't it? Manashanti can be won only by Bhagavan's grace. Isn't it? Anyway, old papam, in the past somewhere we disturbed the peace of the world, isn't it? We disturbed the devatas, disturbed the order. That is why at present disturbance is what? Mental disturbance is, in fact, the past, what we disturbed the order, that we are going through in the form of present disturbance. That is why when the harsh disturbance is there and you manage it, how? Prayerfully, worshipfully, again, no. But there were japam and prayers, and we managed that. Okay. Devan bhavayatanena, devan bhavayatanena, te deva bhavayantu vaha.
Te deva bhavayantu vaha parasparam bhavayantah parasparam bhavayantah shreyah paramavapsyatha shreyah paramavapsyatha.
Living such a non-disturbing life, non-conformity with dharma as a karma yoga, a life of yajna, will definitely bless you with the pure and steady mind, the contemplative disposition of the mind, and which will definitely result in what? Param shreyas, the knowledge, the moksha. Definitely would be. You live a life, live this life of life in conformity with the order, tuned with Bhagavan in the form of natural law and order, and definitely you will be you are promised what moksha is promised to you. Param shreyaha avapsitha. What's next verse?
Ishtan bhogan hi vo devaha. Ishtan bhogan hi vo devaha. Dasyante yajna bhavitaha. Dasyante yajna bhavitaha. Ishtan bhogan hi vo devaha. Ishtan bhogan hi vo devaha. Dasyante yajna bhavitaha. Dasyante yajna bhavitaha. Tairdattana pradayaibhyaha. Tairdattana pradayaibhyaha. Yo bhunte stena yevasaha. Stena yevasaha. Yajna shishtashina santaha. Shishtashina santaha. Yajna shishtashina santaha. Yajna shishtashina santaha. Muchyante sarva kilbishaihi. Muchyante sarva kilbishaihi. Bhunjate te twagham papaha. Bhunjate te twagham papaha. Bhunjate te. Bhunjate te. Twagham papaha.
Twagham papaha.
Ye pachantyatma karanat. Ye pachantyatma karanat.
This is the first shloka. He says, so when you offer oblations through the performance of rituals to the devatas, with the proper attitude, knowing the significance of that, or when you live a worshipful life, a karma yoga life, isn't it? Also, when you offer oblations, etc., to the devatas, then definitely devatas will bless you with whatever you wanted. Isn't it? So, bhavitaha devaha. Bhavitaha devaha. Devatas who have been propitiated by this ritual, through this performance of rituals, etc., they are really pleased. Yajna sishna, this devataha who have been propitiated, then what? Ishtan bhogan dasyanti. Ishtan bhogan dasyanti. They will definitely will give you what? Bless you with the desired ends. When you perform a ritual with the shraddha properly, as a karma yoga person, living a karma yoga, perform a ritual, and whatever you aspire for will be definitely artha kamas. Any artha kama you wanted, you'll be blessed with. That's why, yajna, he says, ishtan bhogan dasyanti. Ishtan bhogan dasyanti. Anishtan, they will not give. They will not give you undesirable, undesired objects. They will definitely give you what? Desired objects. So definite. Look at this. So definite. Dasyanti means what? May give doesn't say will give. Isn't it? Dasyanti. ishtan bhogan dasyanti. Ishtan bhogan hi devaha. Vaha means to all of you. Those, oh human beings, you who perform rituals, who offer oblations, now you acknowledge the contribution, definitely, to devaha, bhavitaha devaha, those devas who have been propitiated, they will bless you with all that you wanted. Ishtan bhogan dasyanti vaha, to you. Yushmabhyam, isn't it? To all of you, they will bless you with everything you wanted. Who? Yajna bhavitaha devaha. Ishtan bhogan hi, indeed, vaha dasyanti, will give, isn't it? Who will give you? Bhavitaha devaha. Ishtan bhogan hi vo devaha dasyante yajna bhavitaha. Then, when devas give you everything, devas only give you everything. Everything you can understand, everything is given by devas, devatas, the phenomena around. And who are those phenomena? They all constitute what? Ishvara, the Lord, which is within the realm of law and order. So, ishtan bhogan hi vaha devaha dasyanti yajna bhavitaha taihi dattan. When devatas give you something, because what? Given by those devatas, taihi dattan apradaya ebhyaha, without sharing, without giving, in return some. Understand? Apradaya ebhyaha, you have taken everything from them, at least give little back to them as a token of your acknowledgement of their contribution with gratitude, isn't it? Ebhyaha apradaya yaha bhunte, isn't it? What? Sahastenaha eva, he becomes a thief, isn't it? Ishtan bhogan hi vo devaha dasyante yajna bhavitaha tairdattana pradaya ebhyaha. Ebhyaha apradaya. Pradaya means having given. Apradaya, without having given anything in return, enjoying all that has been given by those devatas, isn't it? Without returning in little bit, if you eat everything yourself, enjoy yourself, means what? Then, saha stenaha eva. Stenaha means thief. If it is not, if you go and break other somebody else's house, isn't it? we steal things, we think there's a thief. No. Without contributing something in return back to Bhagavan in the form of society and people, isn't it? Or something to devatas. And if only I take everything from devatas and without returning anything, contributing and sharing with others, if I enjoy everything for myself, then sahastenaha eva, he becomes a thief. The mere consumer, non-contributing consumer is a thief. Non-contributing consumer is a thief. Is it clear now? One word, it's nice to say that. Who is a thief? According to Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? Non-contributing consumer is a thief. Isn't it? So, these devatas will give you everything when they are propitiated, very pleased, pacified, but he are taking everything from them without giving anything in return to them, then without sharing others also, apradaya ebhyaha yaha bhunte, one who enjoys everything for himself, such a person, stenaha eva, he is a thief himself. Stenaha means what? Then you are again, you are not, isn't it? There is no yajnaha. There's no, the life doesn't become life of worship. The person who does not share, does not give, does not acknowledge, does not feel grateful, that person really is what? Stena. Isn't it? We can't go and give everything to everybody, isn't it? We give a smallest thing, whatever is possible. And that also, you know, we share. Always any help is acknowledged and respectfully acknowledged and accepted. You know. That's why it's a life is mutually interdependent. Help is always mutual. Everything is always mutual. That is why we feel very grateful to people who help us. At the same time, now you also sort of made feel obligated. Know that? That's also not, that's not, not right. Anyway. Yajna Sishta Shina Santaha. Yajna Sishta Shina Santaha. Muchyante Sarva Kilbishaihi. Muchyante Sarva Kilbishaihi. Bhunjate Te Twagham Papaha. Bhunjate Te Twagham Papaha. Ye Pachantyatma Karanat. Ye Pachantyatma Karanat. So, Yajna Sishta Ashinaha Santaha. Ashinaha means enjoys, eaters. Those who eat, those who enjoy. Ashinaha. Ashnanti, ashnati is the verb there. Ashinaha is the eater. Literally it means ashnati means eats. Ashinaha means eater, the enjoyer. Isn't it? Yajna Sishta Ashinaha. Sishta, Sishta means what? The remaining, leftover. Yajna Sishta means what? After offering it to devatas, after sharing it with, isn't it, other people? Yajna Sishta Ashinaha. Those who enjoy the remaining, whatever remains after sharing and offering. Yajna Sishta Ashinaha. Yajna Sishta Ashina Santo. Such a people, then if they live their lives, then they what? Muchyante Sarva Kilbishaihi. Sarva Kilbishaihi Muchyante means they are freed, liberated from, okay, by all the sins. Kilbishaihi, that's the third case is used, but you can take it as what? From Panchamiyate, isn't it? They're relieved, they're liberated from all the sins. Sarva Kilbishaihi means what? Punyam and Papam. Sarva means what? Not only Punyam and Papam, both are what? Papam only. You know why? Punyam also binds you. Anything which binds you is a Papam. Punyam also binds you. Punyam and Papam all are Kilbisham. Understand now? From Sarva Kilbishaihi, from all Punya Papas, from all the Kilbishas, isn't it? All the blemishes which bind you, which makes unhappy for all of them. What now? Muchyante. They are liberated. Who are liberated from all Kilbishas? All Kilbisham? Kilbishaihi? No? For all the papams, Punya Papas, he says, Yajna Sishta Ashinaha. Yajna Sishta Ashinaha means, first you offer. Yajna is what? Act offer. After offering, after sharing, what you enjoy, what you have. Enjoyer of the remaining, whatever remains after living a life of yajna. By living a life of karma yoga, see, because in living a life of karma yoga, don't think only of performing rituals. Because if you see the whole jagat, even India, we had to find people who search for people who are performing rituals. By living a life of karma yoga, whatever you get, if you live it, no? Share, and then if you live your life, that is what? No. Yajna Sishta Ashinaha. By living a life of karma yoga, you may not make much. You may not accumulate much. We don't know, isn't it? We were very, very committed to dharma means there may be lots of things one may have to lose, isn't it? Therefore, Yajna Sishta Ashinaha means by living a life of karma yoga, whatever you have, now, with that, if you live, if you enjoy what you have, what you earn through living a life of Now worship, life of yajna, life of karma yoga, after offering, after sharing, then you will be liberated from all papam, punya papams. Sarva kilbishaihi mucchante. Is it clear now? Sarva kilbishaihi mucchante. Yajna sishta ashinaha santaha. Santaha means what? Being. Remaining the enjoyers of being, the enjoyers of whatever remains after yajna, after offering and sharing. Then those people become, what now? They become liberated from all punya papas. Yajna sishta ashinaha santaha sarva kilbishaihi mucchante. Is it clear now? Then, if you do not share, if you do not live a life of karma yoga, do not live a life of worship, you do not offer, do not acknowledge, do not give anything in return, you only, no, then what? You disturb the order, you disturb everything, isn't it? And you don't give anything, you don't acknowledge, means what? Very gross person. Then, atma karanat pachanti. Such people what now? Atma karanat pachanti means what? You cook for yourself, you don't share with others. Isn't it? Literally, pachanti means cooking. Those who do, those only they themselves enjoy. Atma karanat pachanti. They enjoy everything for themselves. They keep everything for themselves. They don't contribute and share and distribute, return. They don't need to give so big, all that I want to give and I want to be pauper. Shastram does not say that, right? You be a pauper and give everything away to other people. Don't need to, charity begins at home, okay? You be well placed and share also with little what you have. Well placed means what again? Isn't it? Whatever you have, you share. Enjoy some and give it to others also. That means what? That implies what? Living a life of karma yoga. Isn't it? Because I enjoy this, I should give something in return. That's all. That is why he says here, yajna sishta ashinaha santaha sarva kilbishaihi mucchante ye atma karanat pachanti. Those who do not share, those who do not distribute, those who do not contribute, those who only consume. Without contributing, only those who consume, the consumers. Non-contributing consumers. Isn't it? They say what now? Te one atma karanat pachanti. Isn't it now? Such people what now? Agam bunjanti. Bunjate. Agam bunjate. Agam bunjate means what? They only eat papam. They accumulate papam. They are papaha. They are sin, no, people with lot of papam. Bunjate te, bunjate, they eat, they enjoy, they accumulate. What? Te, those people who? Atma, ye atma karanat pachanti te, ye atma karanat pachanti. Isn't it such people? Agam bunjate, they papaha, they are really speaking, they are sinners. Bunjate te tu agham pa tu agham bunjate. Agham bunjate means what? They eat sin means what? They enjoy sin means they incur sin. They accumulate papam. Sometimes we have to be careful Sanskrit words, okay? Bunjate, you can say bunjate means eats, enjoys. And it also incurs, accumulates. Then later on it means what? That papam will be translated into pain and they had to go through pain. That's why it's experiencing is what? Eating. Enjoying. Isn't it? That's why it's said to be said as bunjate. Bunjate te. Bunjate te. Tu. Agham. Bunjate te tu agham. Bunjate te tu agham. Papaha. Papaha. Papaha means papinaha. Yesham papmasti. Te papaha. Okay, those who have papa is papaha. Papam is what? Sin. Isn't it? Papaha sinner. And then not only sinner, those who have sinner. Those who have accumulated sin. papaha. Who are the papaha? Ye atmakaranat pachanti. Those who, you know, only enjoy everything, accumulate and enjoy for themselves. Those who do not share, distribute, contribute and give something in return. Those who do not live a life of karma yoga, live a life of worship. Such people, no, te papaha, papaha. No, then what now? Agam bunjate. Is it now? Agam bunjate. So Krishna said, why you should do karma? How, then now he starts telling, how you should do karma? Why even to live a life of dharma, even to live, be a contributor, even to share, even to be in tune with the order, you have to do karma. How can you, isn't it, how can you contribute if you do not do karma? Of course, for consuming, you are doing karma. For contributing, also you have to do karma. Isn't it? That's why he says here what? You had to do karma. First he said why he Arjuna should do karma. Now in saying why he should do karma, he started saying how he should do karma. See, wherever the word yajna comes, for people like us who are not, who do not even know what performing a ritual is, living a different atma setup now, we have to understand the meaning of the word yajna in the right sense. Understand? That is why I said, please understand the living a life of karma yoga has to be well understood. And living a life of dharma has to be very well understood. We have set up course. Sometimes we think, oh, this is what, now this is how. Isn't it? Therefore, what is living a life of dharma has to be understood. I said simply we say living a life of values. Isn't it? And there, living a life of values means all those values are highlighted. One has to follow all those values, universal values. And of all those universal values are based on one value. You know that? Ahimsa. Non-hurting. Not hurting the feelings of others. That's ahimsa. Know that? And then that's why we say, we don't intentionally don't go and hurt somebody sometimes, isn't it? So that, why that is the exalt of the values? Ahimsa paramo dharma means what? Because all other values are followed, not to hurt. Why you should speak the truth? Not to hurt. Why should not tell a lie? Not to hurt. Why should speak all the truth? Because not to hurt again. Okay? You should not remain quiet also without talking anything sometimes. You know that? That's why what to talk, how much to talk also must be very clear, isn't it? Then what to do also. If I steal, I'm hurting other person. That is why stealing is adharma, isn't it? So all other values are based on one value. That's why it is called exalted of the values is what? Ahimsa, non-hurting. Therefore, this ahimsa, paramaha, dharmaha. See, the Vaidika dharma, the only strength of sahana, sanatana dharma is what? Now, even after all the onslaughts, this way of life, Vedic way of life, will be surviving always because it is based on this value. The vision is reality, eternal reality, isn't it? And then that vision is based on this value, paramaha dharmaha. That is why it is surviving still. Isn't it? And that value, that's why one has to really see to oneself, what do I mean by living a life of ahimsa? One has to really see through it, not simply saying certain things. You know? Then one has to really, one has to think about it. One has to know about it very well. Then all your actions will be, all that you do will be what? Measured. Now, in conformity with that value, by that value. That's why, then that's what is yajna, I have to see here. Then that is the only way you live in tune with the order, you share, you contribute, you distribute, you acknowledge the help and support and the given things, but the phenomena, you know, and therefore you what now? You know, you live a life of dharma. That is only way. Then you really, you share, by sharing, you become a contributor. As a contributor, you know you're helplessly or a consumer, and you can by choicefully you can be a contributor. Then thereby you become yagyasishta ashinaha, isn't it? Yagyasishta ashinaha santaha sarva kilbishaihi muchyante. Otherwise, ye atmakaranat pachanti. No? Ye atmakaranat pachanti means those who do not offer anything, give anything. This one, atmakaranat pachanti, te papaha agam bunjate. They eat only what they enjoy, they accumulate only papam. It means they have to pay for it one day. That's what it means. I mean, they won't be really ready for jnanam. Papa means what? Papa means you bad. The papa means you accumulating. Papa means you won't be have. You had to exhaust it, isn't it? Or had to exhaust means you'll be born again. And there's such a mind won't be ready for jnanam. There won't be mental purity, mental steadiness, and the contemplation is impossible. Jnanam is impossible, moksha is impossible. You will be bound, isn't it? That is what Krishna says. How one should do karma? What should be the attitude in one's karma? That is very important here. Okay, we'll go to the next one. Yajna sishtashina santo muchyante sarva kilbishaihi bhunjate te twagham papaha ye pachantyatma karanat. Now he says how the life keeps going. Annat bhavanti bhutani, annat bhavanti bhutani, annat bhavanti bhutani, annat bhavanti bhutani, parjanyadanna sambhavaha, parjanyadanna sambhavaha, parjanyadanna sambhavaha, parjanyadanna sambhavaha, yajnat bhavati parjanyo, yajnat bhavati parjanyo, yajnat bhavati yajnat bhavati parjanyaha, yajnat bhavati parjanyaha, yajnah karma samudbhavaha, yajnah karma samudbhavaha, yajnah karma samudbhavaha, yajnah karma samudbhavaha, yajnah karma samudbhavaha. How do you say now? Yajnah karma samudbhavaha, yajnah karma samudbhavaha. In Sanskrit grammar, maybe you must have studied in grammar, it's called Jihva Mooliyam. Means what? Visarga, when Visarga is followed by a hard consonant, it becomes what? It should have take the ih sound, isn't it? Yajnah karma samudbhavaha, yajnah karma samudbhavaha. Very Visarga before soft and a consonants, sorry, hard consonants. This mainly guttural and libial. This dental, the libial. When before is pa and pa becomes uff. It's called upadhmaniyam. Before ka and kha it becomes it's called jihva muliyam. Isn't
how
it?
How do you spell that?
What's that?
How do you spell that? Transliterate.
I only know Sanskrit there because I never needed to teach that in English. No, jihva. Jihva Mooliyam.
No, not jihva. The actual, how would you...
The sound?
It's Y-E-G-N-A-F, then just karma? Yajna karma?
No. Yajnaha plus karma, yajnah karma.
So the aha becomes...
H, just the H.
Yajnyah karma samudbhavah. Yajnyah karma samudbhavah. Karma brahmodbhavam. I think two words to go together. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. Brahmakshara samudbhavam. Brahmakshara samudbhavam. Tasmat sarvagatam brahma. Tasmat sarvagatam brahma. Nityam yajne pratishthitam. Nityam yajne pratishthitam. Very beautiful verse this is, isn't it? Nityam sarvagatam brahma yajne pratishthitam. Understand now? Where is all pervasive reality? Where is it established? Isn't it what? No. Even though you know it. Now there is no way of attaining the reality absolute without involving yajna in one's life, without converting one's life into life of worship. Here karma yoga and see, look at this, worship and living a life, karma yoga are not two different things. Understand now? Now tell me, where is bhakti? Is bhakti a different path? If worshipful, being worshipful is bhakti, if you say, bhakti is not a separate path, isn't it? You don't separate here. Yajnaha means what? Karma yoga. Yajnaha, worship means living a life of karma yoga. Worship, life of worship is like living a life of karma yoga. Isn't it? Therefore, sarvagatam brahma nityam yajne pratishthitam. Yajnaha is a worship. And the worship means what? Act of offering. The symbolic act of offering. Why? Because I cannot give anything as my own. All that I give is what I have got. That is why it is, there's no real giving. Okay? The giving will be a real giving only if you give which is something as your own. If you analyze and see, you know, I give this money, I give that, I give this. You say, of course we do give. I'm not saying we're not giving. That giving, really speaking, do you create it yourself and give? Because nothing is, whatever we give is only given. Given alone is given back. What is given to you is given back. That is why there is no real giving. And once you give back also, really speaking, whom are you giving? You give anything for your own happiness. Isn't it? And what is happiness? It is yourself. Therefore what now? There is no real giving. Understand now? That is why put other ways also. The one who is giving is Ishvara. Look, before go, it is four, two words to give, you have to understand. Very beautiful. This a concept of yajna ritual, really. Performance of a fire ritual. In Vedic language, it's called sacrifice. It's called yajna. It's worship. A symbolic act of offering. And here, if you say everything is Ishvaraha, everything is Bhagavan, and then worship is an act of offering, there is no real act of, real is not real act of offering, because even relatively also, there must be giver and the receiver. Once you say everything is Ishvara, there is nothing which is yours as your own that you can give, so there is no real giving. And even if you are giving, then we say the giver is Ishvara. What is given is Ishvara. The act of giving is Ishvara. The one who is given to is also Ishvara. Therefore, where is giving? Is it a sakarmaka kriyapadam or akarmaka kriyapadam? If you say, now we say with sakarmaka transitive verbs, intransitive verbs, all that we say. Isn't dadati means sakarmaka kriyapadam, isn't it? Sakarmaka dhatu. So sakarmaka kriyapadam is a transitive verb, therefore there must be subject, there must be object, there must be indirect object, direct object also. The one who is given to,
What is given as a direct object? One who is given as an indirect object? This all in, wasn't it? But where is the subject, object, action, the verb? Everything is Ishvara here. Isn't it? Direct object is Ishvara. Indirect object also is Ishvara. Subject of action also is Ishvara. Agent of action is Ishvara. Isn't it? The receiver also is Ishvara. Giving action also, the verb also is Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara here. Then how, where is the act of giving? That is why, really speaking, there is no giving. There is no real offering. It's only a symbolic act of offering. Symbolic, when you say, it is only expression of something very subtle in the form of the thought. Isn't it? Offering, through that act of, symbolic act of offering, the offering is not important. What is expressed through that act alone is more important. What is revealed through that act is important. What I give is important. That is why Krishna always says, patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, yome bhaktya prayachati. You, what you give it, no, come on, I give nice, no, nice, that, what is that, milkmaid paisam, and you, she gives only the small tulsi leaf. What is given is not important. What is offered is not important. With what attitude, isn't it? With what thing we give is very, very important. What is expressed through that act of offering is important. You know, we give a smallest gift you bring and give to other friend. But there, what the spirit behind that giving, isn't it? That action. That action expresses something from the heart, in the mind, which is subtle. You can't see that. The person, the poor person, ordinary person, has a, with 100% openness, isn't it, gives you some small gift. A small candle. Isn't it? Other person brings some big gift. Very expensive, valuable gift. Even though, isn't it, what is given is more valuable for us. We always see what is given, the value of what is given we see. We see the value of what is given and accordingly we respond also. This is a nature of the human mind, isn't it? But really speaking, whatever is given, the smallest thing, useless thing also. Sometimes it may be completely useless, really. Junk. People give sometimes and I really accept and keep it with me. No way. Completely useless. No way. I value the mind with which they give. Promise. I tell them sometimes also, no, even if you don't give me anything, still you are the same for me. I know your heart very well. Don't waste money on these small things. Small things means sometimes it is useless also. But they want to give something, you know that. But I always value what, even if it is useless, we value because I see the intention. I see the heart behind it, the mind behind it. There's something they want, that something I want to give. That is what, the push to give something is what? Because it is useless for me, some people can give. That is not an offering, isn't it? It's a gift when you give something to somebody. Even if it is used, but with what attitude you give is very important, isn't it? It expresses your happiness, your joy, your wanting to share, your happiness. I mean, or your congratulations, isn't it? Your, gratitude. Now, that when you want to express, that is more important. That's what Krishna says here. Actually, the act of offering is symbolic act of offering. There's no real offering. There's no, really speaking, the offering, the action is not important. But what is behind the action is what? Expression of gratitude. That is important. How grateful you feel genuinely. Isn't it? That expression of gratitude is very important. And that gratitude again is what? Gratefulness is what? No, you express it with how? With the humility also, with humbleness. Humility does not mean that you should feel small and bow and then make other person feel very big. Not that way. That is not humility. Isn't it? Humility means being now really keeping one's ego low-key. Isn't it? You know, without me what will happen, you know that. Nobody is indispensable for everybody. anybody. You know that Bhagavan is there, everybody can keep going. Everybody's life can keep going. There are some people who will help you to live your life. Isn't it? So always when we come together, we respect mutually, we give and take, we share, and then our intimacy, our closeness must be based on dharma. That is, that friendship will last forever. You know that. So here, this says, that's why this act of offering, which is a symbolic act, and through which you express your gratitude, and that gratitude, why are you grateful also is very important, because you are not mechanically grateful, you are not a jadam, because you are very conscious and very sensitive person. My God, how much I am given, how much I am really blessed with, you acknowledge how much you are given, you are acknowledging how much you are blessed with alone, creates in you what the gratefulness. The thought in the form of the gratefulness, the gratitude in the form of thought alone, it rises. That won't just surface like that. That implies what? For the thought, great gratitude to rise in the form of thought in your mind, to surface, something should go and push, cause that. What is it pushes the thought to rise? You know that? Your acknowledgement. Understand now? You acknowledge how much I am blessed with. When you acknowledge how much I am enjoying from everybody, how much I am enjoying from this phenomena, how much I am enjoying from Bhagavan. Now you see what you do not have is a problem. What you do not have, what you need, what you do not get, that is a different thing. That is a paradha. But what all you are given, you know, that you acknowledge, you see, then naturally you acknowledge the contribution, you know, the benefit that you are enjoying from the devatas. Acknowledge that. And for which you have to see how you are, nothing is possible for you on your own. You are helplessly dependent on the grace of the devatas. What will it do for your food? What will it do for your shelter? What will it do for your livelihood? What will it do for the shelter if these devatas do not bless you with what you get from them? Isn't it? That is why, see, I can say without the help and giving contribution of these devatas, your life will be impossible. That when you think, no, how much, not little, how much? Isn't it? How much? Just that is not demandingly they give so much means, then you acknowledge, that's what is acknowledging, even to acknowledge that they give me, one should have now cognitive skill. One should have the capacity to understand. Otherwise you are a raw, no, manusha rupena mrigas charanti. Isn't it? Then how much to acknowledge that I am blessed, so much that they give me, I should be sharp. I should be little intelligent person. Isn't it? Then once you acknowledge you are not again a raw-headed person, again you are a sensitive person, then you feel grateful. One, there is gratitude. You can't keep quiet with this gratitude. No, let me keep my, I am very grateful too. You express it through an action. That action is what? Act of offering. That is why it is a symbolic act of offering. And once that, through the act of offering, then what do? You are completely in harmony with devatas. Okay, you please the devatas. That's why devan bhavayanto, te devaha parasparam bhavayanto, we saw already. And here again it says what now? The ones should do that and you will be blessed with everything. Is it now? Once you live a life in tune with the order, by pleasing the devatas, by pacifying devatas, no, then tapping the grace of Bhagavan in the form of devatas, then naturally you will be relatively peaceful and calm, mentally pure and steady. You will have that contemplate peace position of the mind. Then you will definitely be blessed with the knowledge which is moksha. Then what? Therefore, yajna, will result in na antakarna shuddhi and naishchalyam, contemplative disposition. Thereby it will bless you with what? Jnanam, which is mokshaha. And for that, what you need? How will you, all these subtle things, worship yajna is impossible without karma. Understand now? Worship without attitude. How is karma yoga possible without doing karma? The living a life of karma yoga is not possible without doing karma, isn't it? So karma is a must. Your worshipfulness is cannot be expressed if there is no karma. There is no yajna without doing karma. You know, I'm very highly worshipful. What do you do for that? I worship Bhagavan. How do you worship? No? Okay, express your gratitude. How? Is there a yajna possible without karma? We said, I don't do any physical but to meditate. What is what? Mental activity. No, I sing in praise of the Lord. Singing is what? Karma. Chanting is what? Karma. Reciting is what? Karma. Aido, kaikam, vachikam, manasam is what? Karma. Upasanam, isn't it? Then that worship is what? Yajna. Isn't it? Okay, and the offering, okay, the different forms of worship. Nowadays we go to temples and do abhishekam, etc. That's a different form of worship. The Vedic form of worship is what? Now have a Agni Kunda, the fireplace, and where you kindle fire and offer oblations and invoke the grace of the devatas. People may think nowadays people, they have a lot of controversies about this performing rituals. They say, oh, it's all waste of time, waste of money, waste of energy, because a lot of food is wasted into the fire and they are burnt. In fact, better we can contribute to the poor people and they will enjoy. This is the another view. Okay, I do accept when people say we have to help people who are suffering and in pain, but they cannot criticize. They have no right to criticize the performance of ritual. People mechanically, without knowing the significance for the name and fame, and such as a pomp, no, this is the glamour that they say perform rituals. I do accept it is not right. But if they really know the significance of performing a Vedic ritual havanam, you know, even in your places and all, people are very, even in today, even the Indians migrated long ago from India and gone all over. I'm really surprised to know, I knew from my friend from Trinidad, and also from Guyana, and also, you know, the Jamaican, they're still holding on to one thing, without knowing any significance, they're still performing at least havan. Even today, even after coming to London, living here, they say havan today, havan. They don't do anything properly, perfectly. But the whole word havan still they're holding on to, and they do something called yajna, havan. Of course, they do not follow all the rules and regulations which go by those things strictly. They are still holding on to that. But I don't know how, when will they slow the gili, that also I don't know. Really speaking, it is very important for one to know the significance of performing a fire ritual. Very important. Is it clear now? Therefore, there is no way of expressing one's gratitude. There's no way of being worshipful without doing karma. Worshipful life implies performance of karma. Without being worshipful, there's no way of being in harmony with devatas. Without being in harmony with devatas, there's no way of being harmonious with oneself. And without being, you know, without being in harmony with oneself, being harmonious, isn't it? Without being, without being calm mentally, there's no way of discovering the reality. Therefore, he says, sarvam nityam, sarvagatam brahma, nityam yajne pratishtitam. Is it clear now? It is very important also to live a worshipful life. And worshipful life, so he starts from there. It's both words have to understand. Annad bhavanti bhutane Annad bhavanti bhutani. This, I come back and explain this because such two verses are very big verses, no? Lot of things I have to tell you. Annad bhavanti bhutani. Annad bhavanti bhutani. Parjanyadanna sambhavaha. Parjanyadanna sambhavaha. Yajnyad bhavati parjanyaha. Yajnyad bhavati parjanyaha. Yajnyah karma samudbhavaha. Yajnyah karma samudbhavaha. Look at this. He says, Annad bhavanti bhutani. Bhutani, all the living beings, you know, are born of what? Food. All the living beings, if you say bhutani, all the beings are what now? Food only. Isn't born of parental food, originated from the parental food, and sustained by mother's food, and after being born, again sustained by food, isn't it? So life is what? No, the living being means, life means there's no life without food. Annad bhavanti bhutani, all the lives are what? All the beings are nothing but born of food. Annad bhavanti bhutani. But annam, you know, how do you get food? If the earth, vegetation is the food, isn't it? Oshadibhyaha annam. Annam is what now? Oshadibhyaha eva annam. Our Swami is so very beautiful. He talks about vegetarian. You must have heard Swami's talk. Oshadibhyaha annam is food is always vegetarian. There is no non-vegetarian food, he says. Oshadibhyaha annam. No, there is also non-vegetarian food. If anybody says, Swamiji has a different argument. You know that, how, what he says? Food is vegetarian basically. Even if you eat anything else other than vegetation, what you eat is what? Cows eat what? Goat, cows eat what? No cow and goat goes for non-vegetarian food, okay? They eat only grass. And modified form of grass is what you eat. Either you eat cauliflower and broccoli, or you eat modified form of broccoli and cauliflower. Therefore, food is vegetation, vegetarian. There's a non-vegetarian food, isn't it? Therefore, annam is what? Vegetation only food. And then that annam, for the Mother Earth to yield food, isn't it? How can they come, they get grow? You need water. For the water to be there, what should happen? There must be water should be there. There must be rains. Without rains, vrishtihi, vrishtim vina. Isn't it? There's no water. So for the water, for the rains to be there, there must be evaporation of water. With condensation, evaporation, all those things would happen. For your evaporation has to take place, there must be heat. For the heat to be there, sun must be there. Look at this. How much you are dependent, isn't it? So sun must be there. Sun's heat must be, scorching heat must be there. That is why we don't grow anything in London from November to April. Nothing grows here. Maybe in April they start. I don't know. Is it true, Rodniji? Rodniji can't accept sometimes.
Indoors.
Eh?
Indoors.
Okay, indoors. In winter, because, now I'm just joking, because here also they grow beautiful cauliflower. What is that? Sometimes I got, somebody gave me potatoes. When I was living in other house, in Clapton, once we got potatoes from our own ground. Now I'm saying people do grow here also. Now what I'm saying, generally, we say for the Mother Earth to yield, there must be water. And for the water to be, so Mother Earth already we had to bow to Mother Earth. There's no way of having vegetation without Mother Earth's contribution. And Mother Earth, and then for, then there must be water also. Dry land cannot produce anything. For the water, there must be rains. For the rains, there must be evaporation. Okay, all those things should happen. And then for which there must be heat. And once even the rains come, there will be heat again for photosynthesis, for production of food, isn't it? For the reproduction of plants, etc., there must be photosynthesis. So we are completely dependent on the contribution of these devatas, isn't it? So, parjanyat anna sambhavaha. Annam is what? Parjanya deva anna sambhavaha. Without that one water implies contribution of all the devatas. The interconnectedness of the contribution of the devatas also. Isn't anna parjanyat anna sambhavaha? Annam sambhavati. Where do you get food? Isn't it? Because of the rains alone you get food. Parjanyat anna sambhavaha. Isn't it? But he says, parjanyaha, for the rains to come, for the Mother Earth to yield, for the evaporation to take place, for the rains to be there, for the sun to be besting heat, etc. Now, you need to be doing what? You need to invoke the grace of all the devatas. For which you perform yajnaha. Yajnat bhavati parjanyaha. See, when here yajnaha also means what? You invoke the grace of devatas by offering oblations to them. One thing. Other thing is what? By living a life in conformity with dharma, by not disturbing the order. If you don't disturb the order, definitely you will be blessed with whatever you want. You tap the Bhagavan's wrist. In Tamil, we have beautiful saying, and I think nobody knows Tamil here. No, if there's one person who is highly righteous, and for his sake it will rain, it seems. Even the whole place, then the place full of non-righteous people, there's one person who is highly righteous. So Bhagavan, the order, cannot make the one righteous person suffer. For his one person, for this, because this person who protected dharma, he has to be protected by dharma. The one who protects dharma, one who lives the life of dharma, is the protector of dharma. One who protects dharma should be protected by dharma. That is the nature of dharma. Why dharma protects the protected? That is the nature of dharma. Why dharma rubs the one? Because one who rubs the dharma, hurt by dharma. One who protects dharma is protected by dharma. One who protects dharma is protected by dharma. One who rubs the dharma is rubbed by dharma. Why does it do? It is not an action on the part of dharma. That is a swarupam of the dharma. That is how dharma is. That is how order is. That is the nature of the order, law and order dharma. Isn't it? That's why Swamiji, you must have heard him say, if you go and touch the fire, it will burn your finger, means the burning is not an action. This is swarupam. Isn't it? So that's the nature of his fire. Like that, if you rub the dharma, it will be rubbed by that. If you are in tune with dharma, you will be, what now? You will be protected by the dharma. If you live dharma, you are protecting dharma. If you are protecting dharma, you are protected by dharma. Dharmaha rakshati rakshitaha. That is the nature of dharma. That is why even one person who is living there, even if he lives a life of dharma, and dharma cannot leave him. Understand now, he has to protect it. For his sake, there will be everything. There will be prosperity. There will be rains. Nallor kena peyyena peyyum mazhai. It says, that means what? Therefore, here he says, yajnat bhavati parjanyaha means what? Okay, when you perform a fire ritual, offer oblations, now, then to devatas, invoke the grace of the devatas, name of Agni, Suryaha, no Vrishtihi, Parjanyaha, now the Prithvi, etc. Invoke the grace of devatas, that's an action, ritual, isn't it? But otherwise, how can you tap the grace of Ishvara? By living a life of Karma Yoga. Is it clear now? Is as good as performing a ritual. So yajnat parjanyaha bhavati. Yajnat bhavati parjanyaha. Then yajnaha karma samudbhavaha. How can there be worship? How can there be expression of gratitude? How can there be expression of the acknowledgement of the contribution? How can there be living a life of dharma without doing karma? That all needs expression, isn't it? Dharma needs expression, attitude needs expression, gratitude needs expression, acknowledgements needs expression. That all those expressions, they all subtle subtract concepts, they need expressions, and the expressions are possible only when you do karma. Is it clear now? Yajna karma samudbhavaha. I'll stop here. In fact, I need to explain this verse plus following verse next class. Is it okay? Why? Because this is a big, when yajna, 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 the word is used, people may get confused. My God, I'm not doing any ritual. I'm not performing yajna. Isn't it? For them, a life of yajna is what? Living a life of karma yoga. Which involves entertaining Ishwarpana buddhihi, Ishwar prasada buddhihi, commitment to live life of values, isn't it? All those things we'll talk about later on. Once I finish these three topics, then I'll talk about it. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadah.